This is Good News Chats with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, this is Ken Tangen, and this Good News Chat is with Phyllis Anderson, who is on the eastern half of the state of Washington somewhere.
Yes, I am, in Yakima, Washington.
Oh, Yakima. Just over the hill from Seattle, what, 125, 150 miles, something like that?
Yes, it is.
So did you grow up in that area?
No, I didn't. I grew up in Amarillo, Texas. I'm a Texan, and once a Texan, always a Texan.
Did you grow up in a Christian family?
I did, and I didn't. That sounds a little strange. Let me explain that. My extended family, I had a grandmother who was a Christian, and an uncle who was, and my mother served the Lord as well when I was younger, and then she became an alcoholic later. My dad was an alcoholic and a gambler for just about as long as I could remember. So very dysfunctional family, and yet I did know about the Lord, and I did go to church myself. I have an older brother who was a drug dealer, another brother who was a drug user, and a sister who was addicted to men and alcohol. And I thought that I had been adopted, except for the fact that I looked like the rest of everybody else. But I was pretty sure I was dropped into the wrong family, but know that I actually was in the right family.
So how did you become a Christian?
Well, like I said, my mother took me to church when I was younger, and I just remember always knowing the Lord, you know, from the time I was really pretty young, probably 6 or 7, something like that, and remember going to the altar 300 times at least. I was raised in kind of fire brimstone. I didn't really understand grace very much, but just loved the Lord and remember kind of a strange thing when I was about probably 12 or 13, remembering that I would pray for patience, not even knowing what patience was, but I saw it in other people and didn't really get to see that much in my family, and I wanted that. So it was just a strange thing to pray as a 12 or 13-year-old. But he did answer that prayer for me. Didn't have enough sense to know what I was doing when I was praying for it, but he did answer that, which has helped with the job that I have now. So and realize that the Lord has been training me for this all of these years.
So how did you get from childhood to prison chaplain?
Wow. God is the one that trains us, of course, and he doesn't bother to tell us that's what he's doing when he's in the process of doing it often. I married young. I was 18, almost 19 when I married. And like I said, all of my family were alcoholics. I knew that, you know, a lot of times people will either go that direction and fall into it, or they'll hate it, and I hated it. And I tell people I drank 4 times in my life. Each time I drank, I got drunk. The first time I was just a stupid kid. The other 3 times I was an idiot. But I knew I didn't want it. I knew I hated it. But I got away from the Lord when I was probably about 16. And I married a man who I didn't know at the time was an alcoholic. But
you were naturally drawn to him?
I was, yeah. It felt
normal.
It felt normal to me, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I realized that he was an alcoholic, which was after about probably a few months, it really scared me because I thought, I can't take this. I can't stand it.
You can see that path already, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so I had a lot of fear. I had panic attacks and I had a lot of physical problems, colitis, and a lot of things from being so nervous. I've had a lot of physical problems through the years, and God has been faithful to take me through those things. But my husband and I had been married the first 17 years before, well, he was an alcoholic for the first 17 years, and we've been married now for 40 years. And I wanted to kill him, and I think he probably wanted to kill me a few times. God protected us from that. And in the process of that, God taught me really what I'm doing right now. Because I thought his sin, I thought the alcoholism, I would say, Lord, he's an alcoholic. And the Lord would point back at me and show me my sin. of gossip or lying or whatever it is that I didn't think was as bad as the alcoholism was, and just showed me that my sin was not any sweeter than my husband's. And that's really part of the training that God had for me for jail ministry, because I talk to murderers and I talk to people who are in the deepest, have come into the deepest sin, and yet God gives me an incredible love for them and shows me that my sin, again, is not any sweeter to him than theirs is.
What has surprised you about being a Christian?
Everything about God surprises me. It's just, he's amazing. Just amazing what he does, and how he redeems lives and situations that seem so impossible. That's a surprise. Every day is a surprise to me to see changed lives, and especially my own.
Was there a godly person who greatly influenced your life?
My grandmother did. My dad's mother. I never heard her say one unkind word about anybody, ever. If she had to dig back 30 years to find something good to say about somebody, she would say, "Honey, he gave your daddy a candy bar," and he could have been the town drunk. You know, he gave your dad a candy bar 30 years ago. But she always, always found something good to say about someone. So that was a great influence. I never saw her that she was not praying. She was blind, actually, and I struggled with my weight, especially when I was younger. And I went home one day and told my brother that Granny, we called her Granny, Granny said that I looked like I was losing weight. Well, they just screamed because they said, "Granny's blind." But, you know, she was an encourager too. So, you know, I believed what she said. I looked like I was losing weight. So, yeah, she was quite an influence on me too. And lots of godly people in the church. I went to church even though my family didn't. I mean, he did at times, but mostly they didn't. But I went to church anyway, and there were godly people in the church that really influenced me.
We'll have more with Phyllis Anderson right after these announcements. Today's good news announcement is from the first chapter of Colossians. Now Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. He existed before creation began, for it was through him that everything was made, whether spiritual or material, seen or unseen. Through him and for him also were created power and dominion, ownership and authority. In fact, every single thing was created through and for him. He is both the first principle and the upholding principle of the whole scheme of creation.
That's the end of our announcements.
That's the end of our announcements.
That's the end of our announcements.
That's the end.
That's the end.
That's the end.
That's the end.
No more.
So, Phyllis, when do you feel closest to God?
That's a good question. Sometimes in worship, sometimes when I'm reading the Word, many times when I'm teaching and speaking. I have, I was diagnosed with lupus and Sjogren's and fibromyalgia a few years ago. And so I struggle with memory, and I've been praying, "Lord, help me today, because I lose words or struggle sometimes." But it's funny when I'm speaking that I don't struggle so much with it. You know, my memory is good, and God really helps me. So those times I can really feel his presence. And a lot of times I'll go in thinking that I'm going to teach a certain thing, and God turns it totally around, and I go a different direction because he wants me to do that. And I can just feel that's what, you know, I just feel his presence at that time. I love it.
Have you experienced a miracle or seen an angel?
I have experienced some miracles. Never seen an angel. I think some of the greatest miracles I've experienced are the Lord bringing changes in the women that God has let me deal with. Those are miracles. I watched someone go from wanting to be suicidal to totally changed. Those are huge. And they are huge. The people that God has given me the privilege of working with are so broken, are so hurt, have been lifted, have been, parents have started them on drugs at 6, 7 years old. just incredible stories that I've heard. And to watch them go from hopeless to hopeful and full of God, those are miracles. And in my own life, I've had a lot of physical issues, lots of things like that. I had ventricular tachycardia for 22 years. And God, about 12 years ago, the Lord healed me through surgery, but he did heal me. So that was really cool. And lots of miracles along the way. I mean, just tons of miracles. I can't remember any specifically, but just, well, as I was going into surgery, it was funny. You know how as you start to go into surgery, you think, Lord, do I really know you? If I died, you know, because you have to sign something saying that you could possibly die during the surgery, you think, well, Lord, if I just really knew that you loved me, well, I could do anything. And I remember thinking that, praying that, and the woman come out, and the nurse come out into the waiting room, and on her, she had a big a pin that was on that said, Jesus loves you. And so I go, okay, I get it. You know, those kinds of things. I mean, those kinds of things are daily things that happen, but he just knows how to get a message to you, doesn't he? It is amazing that we serve such a supernatural God.
What size church do you attend?
We have about 250 in our church. I used to go to a large church. My husband and I did for several years, and the Lord has moved us to a smaller church now. And it's been exciting because we were driving up to the church the other day, and my husband said, isn't that one of your girls? And isn't that one of your girls? And they weren't all together, but just everywhere we looked was one of my girls, one of my spiritual daughters. And I think had we been in a larger church, that might not have happened. And so the Lord moved us there, just knowing that it would have been a better fit for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
What denomination is your church?
We go to Open Bible, so it's Pentecostal.
How did you pick that church?
Well, I don't know if I picked it or I think the Lord picked it for me. The Lord just sort of brings you along, and it's kind of interesting. I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and then when I moved here to Washington, the Lord brought me to an Assembly church, and I've enjoyed that for a number of years. And then just recently, a few years ago, about 4 years ago, the Lord moved us to this little bit smaller church. But it's been an awesome, awesome church.
What drives you crazy about Christians?
Wow. Boy, that's a loaded question. I think they're covering up or probably thinking that their sin is less than others. I think that drives me a little crazy. Legalism, just sometimes the games that we play, and I'm putting myself in that same category, you know, just play some games, and the Lord just wants us to be real and love people, you know?
Yeah.
It's really what he wants.
Are there things now that you can do that you weren't allowed to do as a child?
Yeah. You know, in the Pentecostal church, there can be a lot of legalism, and I remember down in Texas, you couldn't wear pants to church. It sounds kind of a little silly now, but you couldn't. You had to wear a dress. Well, in Texas, it's blowing 100 miles an hour, the wind. So, you know, it was worse to show a part of...
Very modest.
Yes, exactly. It was worse to show something when the wind blew than it would have been to just wear pants, you know. So some silly things that we or makeup, not wearing makeup, and some things that really have nothing to do with anything. So, yeah, I hadn't thought about that a long time, but yeah.
Well, Phyllis wonders what I'm going to ask next.
I do.
It's time for the offering. Actually, it's just a chance to thank you for your generosity. People have donated their time and talent for this project, so I'm taking this moment just to say thanks.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I mean,
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Has God put a particular issue or cause on your heart?
Yes, he has. I think it has to do with what comes out of our mouth. I have watched the Lord in the God pot, and I probably need to explain that. I'm in jail ministry, so I'm a chaplain at the jail here in Yakima. We have a very unique situation where we as teachers go into the unit. That's very unusual. Usually when you're in a prison or a jail setting, inmates will come from different units and they will come into a classroom setting or a chapel. And then you teach them in there. The teacher's teaching them in there. Where in the God Pond, we go as teachers into the unit and teach them in there. So it gives us more freedom. It gives us more time. And then they, the inmates are all in a very structured situation where it ends up being like Bible school. Only in Bible school, you could possibly get away from people for a little while, you know, your other classmates, where here you can't. But it's a very unique situation where the women have lots and lots of major problems, major issues. And let's say somebody is down in one bunk and they say, I need to get on the other side of the room. And the room's really quite small. 24 women in a unit, 2 toilets, 2 sinks, and 2 showers. And I think you could take the 24 of the most godly women in your church and put them in a small area, not ever let them out from one another, and you might be surprised at what you might find. But God allows these things to come up, and God heals them. And if they can get along with one another in the God Pod, I tell them they can make it anywhere. And that's really what happens. I mean, they're absolutely changed. It's just a very unique situation that God has allowed us to have.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has brought people from far and wide and bring them into the God Pod, and it just changes them. So, and part of what God has me do is, let's say someone comes in and let's say they have been suicidal. One of the things that I teach from time to time when the Lord gives me this is I will talk to them about complaining or grumbling and moaning, like the scripture talks about in the Old Testament where Moses brought the children out of Egypt into the land, into the promised land, and how they complained and grumbled and moaned. And I try to teach them how serious and that is, how dangerous it is, really. And I will ask them to get out a piece of paper. I'll tell them a story, and then I'll have them get out a piece of paper. And I'll ask them to put complaint or complaining at the top of the page. And they will say, do you want us to write down our complaints? And I'll say, no, I want you to see how much you do that. I want you to see, you know, that it really some of that is your complaint against God. And so when they see the seriousness of that and see where their mind goes, instead of being grateful and thankful, and that's one of the things that the Lord has taught me, to be grateful and thankful for what I have, see what I have instead of what it is that I've lost or what I think that I don't have. And I've literally seen women go from suicide to a smile that you can't wipe off of their face by the end of the week, within a week's time. And that's amazing to me, which is, I suppose, what you deal with as well. As I was reading a little bit about cognitive therapy, I think God has been teaching me without me knowing it, mm-hmm. cognitive therapy.
What has been the biggest challenge to your faith?
I think the biggest challenge was when my husband was an alcoholic. And I would even have pastors who would tell me that I had every right to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that's right. And then I would get back into the Word, and the Lord would say, will you love him for me? Will you trust me with this? And that was a challenge. And yet, I realize now that really God was training me again for what I'm doing now. And I somehow realized what God was asking me to do, to love my husband for him and to bring him to Christ. I realized if he loved him that much to ask what he was asking of me, then he had to love me at least that much. And I realized it was a great love. And so, but that was a challenge. That was a challenge. That sometimes the health issues, some of those kinds of things, being raised in an alcoholic home, those were challenges. But what I have found is that God has always been faithful.
Yeah, always faithful.
Always faithful.
You stayed in your marriage even though your husband was alcoholic. But would you say it was because you asked God what to do? Or would you say that every woman should stay in an alcoholic or abusive relationship?
I stayed because God asked me to stay and made that very clear. And I even struggle with giving my story in the jail so that people will not misunderstand, because I deal with so many women who are abused. In fact, I'm more likely when I see a woman to realize that she has been abused, sexually abused and mentally abused in a lot of ways, than to believe that she has up there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tell my story, and many of the women are not married, they're living with a boyfriend, so I don't, you know, I don't want them to be abused. I don't want them to be physically abused and all of the things that they go through. So I even, like I said, struggle with telling my stories because I'm afraid they will misunderstand.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody asks me, well, should I stay? Should I not stay? What should I do? I just say, I can't give you that. You need to get along with the Lord, and you need to hear from Him. And whatever He tells you, He will give you the strength to do, and it will be right.
Mm-hmm. It's okay either way, as long as the Lord is leading you.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know that I would have said that a few years ago, but it's where the Lord has brought me to now. And I really believe that, because not everybody is supposed to stay, you know. But mm-hmm. I do absolutely know. And I'm thankful that the Lord had me stay. I mean, I'm thankful, because I could have gotten out of it and probably would have gotten into another bad relationship, most likely. My husband is a good man. And the other thing is that he put up with me, too. I mean, sometimes I think, well, I stayed with him. But, you know, he stayed with me, which was a big deal. So I used to pray, Lord, this is awful. This would show you how sweet I am. But when the Lord didn't save him as quickly as I thought that he should, I would start praying that the Lord would kill him and put him out of my misery, which wasn't a very nice thing to do. But I thought, Lord, if you're not going to let me divorce him, then I'm sure you don't want me to suffer. So, you know,
yeah, well,
isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet?
Take him home with you, Lord.
Yeah, exactly. Or I would pray things like, well, I don't want him at the bar, so break his neck so that he won't be able to go down there. Well, you know, he's a big guy. Can you imagine me taking care of him? I mean, I'm so thankful that the Lord didn't answer some of my prayers, you know, in my stupidity. So, isn't it amazing?
It's a growth path, huh?
Yeah. With a slow curve.
Do you have a favorite verse in the Bible?
I do have. It is Philippians 4:6 that says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Thank God for what you have and ask Him for what you need. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. And then it says, whatsoever things are lovely and pure and of good report, think on these things. And that has been a life scripture for me. And I use it often in the jail, because a lot of the women have incredible worries. And I lived a good part of my life worrying. And I just don't want to waste any more time on that.
Aside from the Bible, what book would you recommend for a new Christian?
Come Away, My Beloved. It is by Francis Roberts, and it's a devotional. And what I do is I pick it up, and I say, God, I've got to hear from you. And next to the Bible, it's the most anointed book I have ever read. I buy it for the jail as well. I've had the women say the exact same thing to me. They'll just go, I can't believe God knows right where I'm at. It has been amazing, and I wish that I had stock in the company, because I have bought so many over the years. But it really is. And people will look at me a little cross-eyed when I say it's the most anointed book next to the Bible I've ever read. And once they read it, they will say the same thing. So that's my pick of the day.
What do you think heaven is like?
I didn't always think about heaven a lot until you start getting a little older and have losing some of the people. I think it's going to be beautiful. I love to decorate. I love outdoors, and I yard sale. That's how I decorate, and the Lord gives me some real creative things that I can do. So I think my house is going to be beautiful. I think it's going to be exactly what the Lord knows that I love. And I think it's going to be so peaceful. It's going to be beyond anything I can imagine. I mean, it's hard to, I don't know, but I know it's going to be good.
I want to thank Phyllis Anderson for joining me today. Thanks, Phyllis. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to just share what God has done in my life. It's been quite a ride.
amazing and so glorious, so beautifully victorious, almost unbelievable, completely inconceivable, astoundingly divine, wonderfully sublime, incredibly, delightfully, stupendously, abundantly, emphatically, eternally, fantastically, remarkably, good news!
We've got good news for people in trouble. Good news for people in pain. We've got good news for everybody. Good news, Jesus is alive. Good news, Jesus is alive. Good news, Jesus is alive. Alive, alive, alive. Good news, Jesus is alive. Good news.